Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Good morning. My name is Shannon Peterson, and I'll be your worship leader today. Today's scripture reading comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 34 through 43. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him, and they said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread, and give them to eat?" He saith unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they say, "5 loaves and 2 fishes." And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks, in hundreds, and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven, and he blessed, and he brake the loaves. And he gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fishes. And they did eat of the loaves, were about 5,000 men, women, and children.
As you listened to Shannon read this morning's scripture, I imagine that some of you thought, "Hey, that sounds familiar. Didn't we just do that passage a minute or two ago?" And if you thought that, you're absolutely right. At the beginning of August, we read not this exact account, but the account of the feeding of the 5,000 from Matthew's gospel. In August, we focused on Jesus' invitation to feed the crowd, provide food and sustenance and strength for those who gathered like sheep without a shepherd. Today, as we lift up the topic of stewardship, we'll spend time with this passage and look at it from a slightly different angle. Now, I want to clarify right off the bat what stewardship in my mind is and isn't. Stewardship is not about giving money to the church. Stewardship is about how we see ourselves in relation to God, to creation, and to other people. It's about being aware of what we've been given and what has been entrusted to our care. It's about ordering our lives in a way that puts us in right relationship, giving back to God, to creation, to others, a portion of what we've received. This is the beginning of our annual stewardship campaign, and many of you have received mailings inviting you to enter into a process of considering planned giving for the next year. The intention is for those mailings to go to members and friends of the congregation who have aligned themselves with the life of this church and the ministry that happens through this place. If you received that mailing in error, forgive me. We're sorting through our mailing list. And if you're here today as a visitor, please know that we are just thankful for your presence. That is a tremendous gift for which we are grateful. But regardless of our individual connections to this place, whether we're a founding member of this congregation or a first-time visitor today, there's a word of invitation and grace in this scripture passage and around the topic of stewardship for each and every one of us. I'm guessing that many of us are familiar with this account, and you heard it read again this morning. A large crowd followed Jesus and his disciples out into a very deserted place. Jesus engaged them and taught them, and it became late in the day. The disciples looked around and started to wonder how all of these people were going to eat, and they implored Jesus to send them out into the local town so that they could take care of themselves. But Jesus had a different idea. Jesus said, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." So they went to see, and they collected 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus blessed the food. It was shared among all of those people, and there were baskets and baskets left over in the end. And the tension that I want to lift up out of this account today is the tension between the notion of scarcity and the notion of abundance. We all look at things through what sometimes becomes a fairly fixed lens. The disciples in this account looked at this scene and viewed it through a lens of scarcity. There are too many people. There isn't enough food. We don't have enough money to pay for their dinner. We need to send them away. Jesus, on the other hand, looked at this scene and viewed it through a lens of abundance and possibility. How many loaves do you have? What if we look at what we have between us? Maybe we can take care of everyone. Go and see. Now, I have to admit that if I had to say whether I tend to see things through a lens of scarcity or a lens of abundance, I'd probably have to admit that more often than not, I see things through a lens of scarcity, like the disciples. I worry that there's not enough of a lot of things. And the truth is that COVID-19 has made that worse, at least for me and maybe for you as well. I found that to be true in a really tangible way at the beginning of this pandemic. I remember the very moment that I was in Trader Joe's to just buy 1 or 2 things like I often did, and found the store packed with shoppers with these overflowing carts. The shelves with pasta and soup and other longer shelf life items were strangely sparse or bare. Reflexively, I picked up a few extra items and I asked the person who checked me out if this was all because of the virus. He said that it was, and he also said that I won the award that day for buying the least amount of items. Well, over the next couple of days, I headed to the grocery store and to Costco, and despite my intention to not give in to the impulse to hoard food or toilet paper or other items, I found myself buying way more than I could ever use in the next few months. I still have items in my cupboard and in my freezer that were part of my initial gathering of supplies in preparation for the unknowns of the pandemic. The lens of scarcity was thrust upon all of us, even if that wasn't our natural inclination. But in addition to worrying about resources, money, food, water, toilet paper, hand sanitizer, as the pandemic wore on, I also found that I sometimes slipped into scarcity thinking in terms of emotional resources as well. I know that we are all tired of this pandemic. It is frustrating and depressing, and the longer it goes on, the more we see in ourselves and in those around us a battle with things like sadness, grief, anxiety, possibly despair. There are moments when I can compartmentalize everything and just do the next thing, but there are other moments when weariness creeps up upon me and I feel as if my internal resources are becoming scarce as well. There are days when the well of my patience and hope seem to be running a little dry. There are times when I doubt I have enough in my reserves to meet the needs that I perceive to be around me. And if you share some or all of that experience, this is precisely the moment that it helps for us to return to passages like this one from Mark and remind ourselves that God's perspective is not our own, that God sees and holds a much bigger picture, that God sees through a lens of abundance and possibility, and God calls us to at least expand our vision, to consider a different lens as we face the challenges of our time. And to do that, it seems as if we need a few key elements, the first of those elements being trust. This scripture passage invites us to trust that God wants to provide for us, for others, for all God's creation, and that God's capacity for provision is beyond the scope of our imagination. In days that inspire scarcity thinking, it is hard to trust, to believe, to imagine that there will be enough. It's hard to trust that I'll have enough, that my friend or family member will have enough, that the church will have enough in order to do what it's called to do. Yet we are assured that God sees abundance and possibility in places where we might at first see only desert. And in addition to trust, it seems as if we also need to be mindful of the power of our togetherness, the significance of our collective effort. Jesus saw abundance and possibility in the shared resources of the people who were present. It wasn't the effort of one person who happened to do a bang-up job of packing a really great picnic that day. No, it was a fish here or a half a loaf there and a few crumbs over there. It was the shared resources of the gathered community that was then blessed by the holy that created a space for abundance and then some, resulting in baskets and baskets of leftovers. I think of the power of our collective efforts, our togetherness in our giving when I think about my own giving in and through the church. I am grateful that we do this together. There are several of you who have offered to share a brief word about stewardship and giving this month, so I thought it was only fair that I share a little of my experience as well. And what I'll say is that I'm constantly aware that I don't give the least amount to the church and that I also don't give the greatest amount. And while I try to increase my giving each year by some increment, I can tell you that there have been years when I have not, because it just didn't seem sustainable. And I know that some of us are having that kind of a year, especially because of COVID. But one aspect of my personal philosophy about stewardship, giving back a portion of what I've received in order to support a ministry of grace, justice, peace, love in my community and throughout the world, has always been that the amount of the gift is less important than the regularity of the gift. And I'll admit, part of that is for me. It serves my own sense of peace and well-being. Because there are weeks when I'm all too aware of my less than perfect efforts to live fully the life to which God calls me. There are weeks when I know I've yelled at my dogs just because I was cranky, or I failed to respond to someone in need, or got tired and didn't reach out to the person who needed a reach out, or I preached a wonky sermon that I'm not sure anybody got anything out of. Or on and on and on. But if I can give regularly, and I'll tell you, I really miss the action of putting an envelope in the offering plate each week. Because if I can give regularly, I know I'm making an effort each week to say thank you, to say to God, I recognize and I know what I've received. If I can give regularly, I know I'm indicating my intention and desire to live a life not just unto and for myself, but a life that reaches out to make a difference in this hurting world. And while I do it imperfectly pretty much all of the time, that is still the life that I strive to live, that I will keep striving to live. And when I do my best, and you do your best, and we all make the effort to give intentionally, to give regularly, to give what we're able, I truly, truly trust that our shared resources, blessed by our loving God, become abundant in God's realm. I want to lift up one more thing that is key in our lives of discipleship. Stewardship and our giving is not simply a matter of sharing financial resources. We give out of what we have and who we are in all kinds of different ways. In our United Methodist language, we talk about the giving of our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. There are some among us who live the biblical mandate to pray without ceasing, who lift us up, others up, the world up, and petition God's mercy and care. There are some among us who show up again and again, whether it's in worship or at Project Grace or in support of the office work. There are some of us who share their gifts of music, education, intellect, knowledge, caring, and on and on. There are some of us who witness to the love of God so fluently and so effectively, not simply through words, but through their very way of being in the world, whether they're at work or in the grocery store or on a Zoom meeting or taking a walk at the beach. I do hope that you who align yourselves with the ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church will take some time in these next weeks to pray about and be intentional in your plans to give regularly in any or all of these different ways as we prepare for the ministry to which we will be called in 2021. And who knows what 2021 will hold? It's a hard year to plan for. And again, scarcity thinking tugs at the edges of all of our fears. We may be tempted to power down a bit, to pull back, to plan for less, hope for just the bare minimum. But maybe, just maybe, God sees a bigger need in our community, in our world, especially in light of these challenging times. Maybe, just maybe, God is asking us to go and see, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And maybe, well, most certainly, God will bless our shared offerings that we might make a transformative difference in the lives of individuals, in the life of our community, and in the fabric of our world. Thanks be to God. Amen. We join our hearts and spirits together in this time of prayer. Let us go to God in prayer together. Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts, the beauty, the newness of this day. Behind us is a week of struggle or celebration, worry or joy, sometimes all of the above mixed up together. We come to this day, a day of worship and connection and renewal, trusting that you have been with us in all that has brought us to this time and place, and trusting that on this day, in these moments, we encounter you and one another in fresh and meaningful and hope-filled ways. We continue to lift up those near and dear to our hearts who struggle with illness in body or heart or soul. Bring your healing and encouraging spirit as a balm to places of illness, of wounding, of deep need. We pray for those who are suffering from COVID-19, for everyone, from the president of our country to all the ones who are unnamed and unknown and who may struggle isolated or alone. Guide us through this pandemic with patience, with light, with respect and tender care for one another. We thank you for the many ways that we are sustained, even in this difficult time. We thank you for friends, for family, for meaningful activities, for technology that allows us to connect with one another. We thank you for our pets, past and present, creatures and critters of your own making who bring an aspect of joy and comfort to our lives unlike any other. We pray for all of your creation and renew our commitment as stewards, those who have been entrusted with so much that is precious and beautiful. When our vision gets fearful and small, help us to see through your eyes, eyes that see abundance and possibility as we join our hearts, our lives, our resources, our tears, our laughter, our worship, and our work together in response to your love for us and in solidarity with your creation and your world. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, who invites us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.